So next up, I want to introduce a very special friend. Ed Sadlowski is a radical labor organizer from a long line of radical labor organizers. He worked for MTI, he worked for AFSCME, and I first met Ed during the occupation of the Capitol in Madison. He had just gotten off the phone with one of the leaders of the unions, and he said, this guy asked me, how's the mobilization going? I said, what mobilization? This is an uprising. Excuse me, I gotta figure out how to break into this chamber over here. So when some people were trying to compromise and lead people out of the Capitol, Ed was like, uh-uh, we're taking over. So please join me in welcoming our good friend, the great Ed Sadlowski.
And the unsinkable Ruth Conniff, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, beautiful day at Bree Stevens, and thank you for the warm introduction. Fighting Bob, I'm going to focus on family for a second, us, and talk real quick about Ed Garvey. Some 20 years ago, I had the distinct honor of grabbing a lunch with John Matthews from Madison Teachers, Mayor Paul Soglin, and Ed Garvey. Now, these three guys had gotten together for decades to talk about what's happening in Madison, and I got lucky and just got invited to hang along for the meal. Lo and behold, Ed Garvey asked, how's your old man? And I said, Ed, and again, this is 1994, my dad's in the hospital at Rush in Chicago. He had a recurring brain tumor surgery. And lo and behold, the day went on. We parted ways. My mom called me that evening. Ed Garvey had driven down to Chicago to visit my dad while he was in the hospital. So this is a day to say thank you, Ed Garvey. I understand the word is he may be showing up a little bit later today. So far in my lifetime, I think I've missed two Fighting Bob Fests. So what we're doing here today, what we're talking about, has big implications. It's left its mark on me. I'm a better human being, and I look forward to continue carrying forward the traditions of Fighting Bob La Follette and people like Ed Garvey. I know you do, too. You're supposed to applause about that, by the way. So, sisters and brothers, I've got the distinct privilege now to introduce my sister, Susan Sadlowski Garza. Why is Fighting Bob important again? Susan is about people-powered politics. Last April, more than 40 years of political oppression were lifted from the people of Chicago's Southeast Side, the neighborhood where we were born, the neighborhood where my sister still resides. She was able to unseat a Democratic, corrupt-as-hell incumbent politician who was 100% rubber-stamped for Mayor Rahm Emanuel, laced with corporate monies from the Koch brothers, from polluters, and it's about people-powered politics. So I'm going to say to you, take note, because my sister's here today at Fightin' Bob, and she's going to join us now. Please give a big hand to my sister, Susan Sadlowski Garza, Alderwoman of Chicago's 10th Ward.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, thank you. What a beautiful day in Madison. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I am so excited to be here. I would be amiss if I missed the opportunity to say thank you to all the people, all the volunteers that put this fest on today. All the talented organizers, the public servants, the radicals, and the good old-fashioned rabble-rousers. First, I want to take a second and recognize those people, because thanks to all the volunteers, staff, and sponsors who've made this opportunity for me to be here possible. Every movement, every campaign, and every victory has countless number of folks who work tirelessly behind the scenes to make this all happen. And thank you to the Fighting Bob Fest for having me here today. You know, volunteers do this work because they believe in the cause. They believe in the vision, and they believe that they want to make a difference. This might seem obvious, but I want to hit on this point today because I think that's the difference in our progressive movement. As we have witnessed over the past year and a half, Working families across America are ready for more progressive domestic policies and social programs. The message of universal health care, free college, tuition, massive infrastructure investment, and criminal justice reform resonates throughout the country, not just in Madison or Chicago. Whether or not we are able to make any of these policies actually happen depends on our ability to organize our communities. Organizing is the key to unlocking the power of the progressive movement. We must never forget the basics of building power through organizing. In this era of data analytics, voter forecasting, constant TV ads, we must not forget that organizing starts and ends with a personal relationship. We have to use the tools we have. Money and super PACs won't win our elections. It didn't win mine. Organizing and building a campaign built on volunteers who want to build stronger communities is how we are going to win. I know this from personal experience, how the impact of a group of dedicated volunteers, what it can make, what a difference it can make. 2 years ago, our grassroots campaign worked fearlessly in the freezing cold to unseat a 16-year incumbent alderman. As corrupt son of a bitch as they come. He didn't care about his constituents. He cared about what was happening in City Hall, and he took over $84,000 from the Koch brothers. He was backed by Mayor Rahm Emanuel and his super PAC, Chicago Forward. My race was a classic David versus Goliath. We were outspent 3-1. They had the mayor's big shot lawyers. They had every advantage a Chicago politician, political machine could have. But we had one thing that they couldn't get. We had a multi-generational, multiracial, pro-labor, pro-environment campaign built on dedicated volunteers who wanted to make a difference. They stole ballots. They stuffed the ballot boxes. It went to a runoff. And with over 11,000 voters casting their ballots, I won by 20 votes. Now I am proud to say that I am the first ever Chicago Teachers Union person ever to hold a seat in Chicago City's Council. I'm the first woman in the 10th Ward ever to hold the seat. Rahm Emanuel doesn't like me very much, and I wear that as a badge of honor. People said to me, aren't you afraid? Well, aren't you afraid that you're voting no on property taxes? Aren't you afraid that you're voting no on all these bills that he's passing? I said, I'd like to invite you to my ward and show you what 16 years of yes votes got us. Nothing. Our ward was a true mill town. We had 9 steel mills. My father was a steel worker at U.S. Steel. It gave us an honest living and a good life. He was in charge of 135,000 steel workers in District 31. But now all the steel mills are gone. And so are the jobs, so are the restaurants, so are the bars, so are the stores. We're left as a shell of a little neighborhood. I have the biggest ward geographically in the whole city of Chicago, and I have the most vacant land ever. I have 600 acres of undeveloped lakefront where U.S. Steel once stood. Corporate developers tried to come in and build $500,000 homes with boat slips and Neiman Marcuses, and the city and our ward fought back, and guess what? They're gone. So we're getting stronger and stronger by the day in the 10th Ward, and people feel like they finally have a voice there. I do everything collectively. I never make a decision on my own. I take it to the people, and they tell me what to do. Because I never forget that I have 56,000 bosses looking at me every day. And as long as I stay true to my values and my morals and remember where I came from, I'll be okay, and Rahm Emanuel can go to hell. So I talk about my story because I wanted to serve as an inspiration for everyone here today. If somebody would have told me 10 years ago that I'd be sitting in city council, I would have never believed it. I was always active in social justice. I was area vice president for the Chicago's Teachers Union. I was strike coordinator during the 2012 strike. I fought for social justice issues from wherever I can remember. But you know what? If I can make it happen in the city of Chicago, where there's corrupt politicians probably more than any other city, we can do it anywhere. And I want you to know that. It won't be easy, but it's possible. We got to remain dedicated, and we have to remember the fundamentals of organizing people based on shared values and vision for a more equitable and just society. You know, we're at the crossroads right now. There is more money in politics than ever before. And it won't stop anytime soon. It won't stop until Citizens United is reversed. And we must focus on the fundamentals of our movement and how we win elections and make sure we continue fighting for progressive change at every single level of government. I'm going to leave you today with a great quote from Fighting Bob. Publicity, discussion, and agitation are necessary to accomplish any work of lasting benefit. So let's leave here today and let's engage our neighbors, our family, and our friends in discussion and agitation. Building our communities and working together for a better tomorrow is why I am here, brothers and sisters. Now let's go out and accomplish work of lasting benefit. Solidarity forever!
All right, Sue Garza. You know, Sue's campaign, which was an unlikely campaign and people did not think she could win, was the first campaign that we covered in our On the Line section of the Progressive magazine when we changed it into a kind of a photo essay. We have this front of the book section. It talks about people's struggles around the United States. And the story of her campaign brought together these different fascinating aspects, one of which was the Koch brothers owned a plant in her neighborhood that made pet coke, and the corrupt opponent she just talked about would do nothing to stop the pollution of the neighborhood. And so we had photographs of people's houses covered in this disgusting soot from the pet coke plant. We had the Latino people in the neighborhood who were coming out in droves to campaign against Rahm Emanuel and his pet alderman who was doing nothing for their district. And then we ended on a high note with Sue's victory in that race, which was just a tremendous victory for the people of her neighborhood. So her story is truly an inspiring story, and we're really proud to be able to cover it in the Progressive magazine. Her discussion of Rahm also reminded me, we brought the great Karen Lewis, the teachers union leader from Chicago, to Madison. She told this wonderful story about seeing Rahm Emanuel, who was also not a big fan of Karen Lewis, on the sidewalk one day, and she used to like to tease him. And so they were walking past each other, and she said she hip-checked Rahm, and she didn't mean to, but she sent him flying across the street. He's a very slight man. So I love that, and I love the sense of victory that you get from hearing Sue Garza.